Now that you've all sat down and got comfortable, I'm going to ask you to stand back up for the reading of the gospel. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. May the word of the Lord fall afresh on your ears this day. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Since I've been here with you traveling on this journey, we've talked about how loved we are by God. We've talked about how we are forgiven by God, and we've talked about how we are raised to new life with Christ. This is the good news. This is the gospel, and it is good news. But the news that we have received together is not complete. Today we're going to look at another part of the good news, and that is the great invitation. The invitation to live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was a very important part of Jesus' preaching and teaching. It was one of his favorite subjects. And it's not one that we often talk about unless we're talking about it as an end time, as a last days, when we take our last breath and we go to heaven and we enter into the kingdom of God. But yet in this life, we continue to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God was proclaimed by Jesus quite a bit, and it was something that also Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, proclaimed as well. At the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we see John proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And when Jesus enters into his ministry, he proclaims that same verse a couple of chapters later. Same exact words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Before I go any further about the kingdom of God, I want to say a little something about repentance. Because I've been kind of preparing you, because in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start talking about specific kinds of sins. Repentance is described as a lot of different things. One of my favorites has always been it's a change, it's a shift in the way you think, in what you do. For example, you're on the path that does not lead to God. It leads away from a relationship with God. A repentance is not just an I'm sorry. A repentance is a turning from what is taking you away from God back to God. It is an actual turning. But it's also a word, metanoia. Metanoia. Metanoia means a changing of the mind. That you have completely changed the way you think about something, which leads you into a completely different direction. That's what repentance is. All right. So Christ proclaims, repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, before we again get into specifics of what the kingdom of God is, I want you to understand how often Jesus proclaimed this and how important it was to him. Most of his parables, those stories that he told, were about the kingdom of God. And that language just kind of slips by us. Listen for it. In Matthew 13:24, Jesus says, he put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven. All right? Here's another one. Also from Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And again in Luke chapter 13, and these are just a few examples. To what should I compare the kingdom of God? Is it like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all it was leavened? So Jesus, every time he taught, he was speaking about the kingdom of God. And not only did he teach it while he was living, but even after his resurrection and he appeared in the book of Acts, he's still talking about the kingdom of God. And the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to get how important the kingdom of God is to Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, this is after Jesus' resurrection, before he has ascended into heaven. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of heaven. When he taught his disciples to go out and proclaim the good news, he gave them these instructions in Matthew chapter 10. He says, as you go, proclaim the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And then the apostle Paul, who did not know Jesus when Jesus was alive, but met the Lord in his resurrected state, says this about the kingdom of God. Paul entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. And then later in the book of Acts, it says, Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The kingdom of God is one that is all over the New Testament, and it's one that we rarely ever talk about. Paul wrote about it in his letters. So I think today we're going to talk about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. What is it exactly? Wisdom comes out of the mouth of babes, because as you heard them this morning when they gathered around, where is the kingdom of God? They were both right. We had a couple that said it's in heaven, and we had one, the PK, who said, it's everywhere. All right, here we get into some A little deeper theology, so I want you to hang with me, all right? And I want you to remind you, as we delve into this, that there's always something mysterious about God. We are so very limited when we try to explain what we know about God. We're limited mentally. We're limited with our language. And it's a struggle to grasp sometimes what we try to explain who God is and what we know about God and what we don't know about God. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, scholars have disagreed. Many scholars have jumped to the kingdom of God. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, it was way in the future. And then they'll argue over how far in the future. When we die, do we immediately go to heaven? Or is it something that we're all resting in our graves and we're waiting for the great rapture, and it's just way, way in the future that none of us have experienced yet? I mentioned to you before that John Wesley, who is the father of the Methodist movement, when he wrote the doctrines for the movement, there wasn't a good eschatology or a good end times because he disagreed. He didn't think that it was just a future thing that God was moving us all to. It was that, but it was also this happening here and now, that we live in the kingdom of God here and now. Here's the exciting part, that you get to taste heaven here and now, that you get to live in the kingdom of God here and now. That when Jesus came to earth as the Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, there stood the kingdom of God in the midst of the people. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God has come here and now. Now we know that even though the kingdom of God may be present on this earth, it is not fully developed. It is not fully fulfilled. Because we know when we look out into the world, there's a messiness, right? There's messiness. There's violence. There's people who are hungry. There's a lot of inequality. And then we look at our own lives and we see discrepancies on what we do and the way we act. We struggle with our own temptations. And we know that that's not the way it's going to be in the kingdom of God. But yet, the kingdom of God is being offered to you. And what the kingdom of God and what that invitation is, first and foremost, is a relationship. You see, in the days when Jesus was walking on the earth and proclaiming, there were a lot of people who were left out. And here we're going to get into some cultural issues, all right, of what it was like back then. So in order to, I want you to kind of get a visual for this. I want all of you who can to stand up. And the Jewish cultural expectation was, these are the individuals who could go to heaven. So, if you remain standing after this activity, you, by Jewish standards, would get to go to heaven. Are you ready? All right. If you are not male, please be seated. As the men giggle. If you are healthy and whole, you may continue to stand. If you are wealthy, you may continue to stand. And I wasn't even finished yet. I hadn't gotten to the part for you needed to be righteous and you needed to be a Jew. Those were the only ones that were expected to go to heaven. To go, well, not to go to heaven, but to be blessed in the kingdom of God. All right, that's the social context that Jesus is presenting the Beatitudes. You have a whole lot of people who are left out of the scenario. A whole lot of people who are hurting. Now I want you to get a picture of the crowd that Jesus is going to present the Beatitudes to. So in chapter 4, verse 23, I'm going to set this up for you. Okay? It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And then we step right into chapter 5, the Beatitudes. These are the crowds that Jesus is speaking to. All right, now let me share with you some Beatitudes of the day. All right, these are the Beatitudes that the culture knew. See, blessed are were just sayings of the day. All right, so listen to these. Blessed is the man who lives with a sensible wife. Well, that makes sense. Blessed is the man who does not sin with the tongue. Blessed is the man who has not served as an inferior. Blessed is the man who finds a friend. Notice the blessings are all on men. And they make sense. Well, yeah, you're going to be blessed if you never have to be an inferior. That sounds great. Happy are the ones that never have to serve another. Right? That makes sense. But when we get to Jesus' blessings, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, that doesn't make sense. Let me talk about the word blessing for a minute. Blessed. Some translations will translate it as happy. Happier those who are poor in spirit. Happier those who mourn. To our ears, it sounds better to be blessed because that just sounds oxymoronic. Happier those who mourn. All right. First, it's because of our definitions of these words. Blessing seems like something that's coming to you, a blessing, right? That you're going to receive something, all right? And we've kind of tried to work with these words to make it work in our own mind. Happy is more of a state of being, right? When you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. There we go. We have some happy people in the house. I like it. But the word that was used was makarios, and it meant to be very well. Things will go well with you, all right? That Let me think about how to put this for you. Truly, there we go. Truly well off are the poor in spirit. Truly well off are those that mourn. Truly well off are those who are persecuted. Truly well off are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Truly well off are you. Now, when the crowds heard this, you had to think, these are people who are broken in spirit. These are people who have been told they are left out of the kingdom of God. These are people that were told that they are unclean, that they are not worthy to come into the synagogues. They were left out and put on the fringes for one reason or another. And Jesus is telling them, you are well off because the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, when the Pharisees heard this, who were the religious leaders of the law, and they were male, and they were righteous, and they were Jews, and they fit every single criteria that said they were in the kingdom of God. They loved their blessed sayings, blessed be the man, because they fit in that. But when they heard these new blessings, Jesus was taking what they knew and putting it on its head, because their sayings were very exclusive. It didn't say just who got to be in the kingdom. It said a whole lot about who was left out. And we saw that when we saw everyone sit down before we even got to finish the list. But Jesus, all who mourn, all who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever felt taken for granted? Have you ever felt pushed down? Have you ever felt bullied? That there's this hungering and this thirsting, starving for righteousness. Well off are you, for the kingdom of God is present here, now, today, and an invitation is extended to you that you are included, that God wants a relationship with you. And the kingdom of God, in the form of flesh and blood, is extending that invitation. All those who told you you were left out, well, they get the invitation too. But it's interesting that the Pharisees get very upset, and they get very upset with Jesus because Jesus likes to hang out with the people who need the kingdom of God the most. They were often criticizing him for hanging out with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. And one day he tells them, he says, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom ahead of you. That's in Matthew 21:31, if you want to look it up. Ahead of you. And notice it's interesting, he doesn't exclude the Pharisees, but he's witnessing to them something that's happening here now today. It's because those who are broken are chasing after Jesus. They're chasing after the kingdom of God. They know there is something going on. And in droves, they're chasing after him. because they know something's happening. The kingdom of God has come near, and it has pierced their very souls, and they know it. But the Pharisees don't recognize it, and they don't see it, so they miss their opportunity. Those who are chasing after Jesus actually do enter into the kingdom of God before them, because the kingdom of God is a present reality that Jesus brings into the world. Jesus also brings warnings to those of us who are too comfortable. In Luke chapter 6, instead of blessings, he gives woes. Matthew 6:24, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." It's not that God doesn't like wealthy people or comfortable people or successful people. It's because when we become too successful, when we become too comfortable, when we have the power to take care of ourselves, we grow numb to our need for God. And we forget to pursue the kingdom. We forget to pursue Christ. And we let that relationship, the most important relationship of our lives, dwindle because we think we can do it all ourselves. God loves wealthy people because God loves all people, but God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the world, because not only are we pursuing Christ, and we're pursuing the kingdom of God, and it is reigning in our life now, and the marks of that life are the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's self-control, it's love. These things reigning and pouring out of our life, but also blessed to be a blessing that we are there for those who are less fortunate than we are. That we truly do walk in a world where we are a blessing to those who are poor in spirit, to bring the kingdom of God into their life. We are a blessing to those who mourn, because we mourn with them. We are a blessing to those who are persecuted, because we will be their friend. You see, we are a blessing to those who are merciful. We are a blessing to those who are starving for righteousness, because we will stand up for them because we can. This is what it means to be living in the kingdom of God. It's an active participation within it. The gospel is not just a receiving. It's not just accepting Jesus as your Savior. It's not just accepting forgiveness. It's not just accepting new life. But it's entering into a new reality that the kingdom of God has come near to you. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? If the kingdom of God has drawn close to you, and there's no if about it, it has, what are you going to do about it? In the weeks to come, well, next week actually, we're going to talk about anger and lust next week, and how those impact our life, and what it means to live in the kingdom of God and what it means to live a new life without those. And every week I give you homework. This week it's a lot of fun. What it means to live in the kingdom of God. It's full of joy and full of life, full of hope. It's drawing close to God. It's relying on God, depending on God. So my homework for you is to play. To play. Some of us have forgotten how to play. As adults, we go to work. We take care of other people. Every day is blocked out and we've scheduled everything. But there's something about play. There's a vulnerability to it. There's a loss of control. This is why some of you, when you watch football, you get so mad and you yell because the game's not in your control. Because the game, those who are playing, it is spontaneous. There's a spontaneity to playing. When you enter into a game, you do not know how it's going to end. That's what makes it fun. When you go into a creative spirit, whether you're drawing or painting or working with clay, you don't know what the end product is. You might have some kind of idea, but you don't know exactly how it's going to come out. The reason God created us to play because there's so much spontaneity to it. You know, God actually created creatures just to play? The Leviathan in the deep blue was just created to play. Because when we play, we let control go. And we just let it unfold. That's living in the kingdom of God. So tonight, I extend an invitation to you to come join us back this evening at 5, where we're going to play. And we're going to be spontaneous, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to like it. And for those of you, I want to extend this invitation to you. If you have felt like you have been pushed out, that you've heard that the kingdom of God, that invitation was not for you, that you didn't feel like you were worthy, or you were too broken, or you made too many mistakes, hear this invitation. The kingdom of God is for you. Jesus extends that invitation to you. Well off are you, because the kingdom of God is here, and it is now, and it is waiting for you to affirm it as yes. So hear this invitation. If you are wanting to come into the kingdom of God, if you want to give your life to Christ for the first time, I want you to come forward during the singing of our last song. Or if you want to just transfer your membership from another denomination because you feel like God is calling you to live out your baptism at St. John's, we want to have you here. Will you please stand as we prepare ourselves, our hearts to sing, and let us pray. Merciful God, you are good and glorious in all things, in all ways. We thank you that the kingdom of God is here and now. We thank you that we get to participate in it here and now. We thank you for the good news that we have received, that we are beloved and that we are wanted, and that you extend that invitation to each one of us, and no one is left out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.